One of the reasons for liking to forage is that I become aware of the season. It seems a miracle to me when I find the first mushroom of the season. I find it affirming, somehow, affirming my spot in the universe.
For Evan Struzinski, foraging for mushrooms is a source of delight and satisfaction, but it can also bring considerable frustration. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Mushroom Fever, produced by Natalie Jablonski with the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies.
Here's a little stream on the bank of this stream. There's a sign, beware of the dog. At least it doesn't say no trespassing.
This is Evan Struzinski, and I am 37 years old, and I forage mushrooms.
I started 4 years ago. Some friends of mine pick mushrooms, and they took me out, and it was love at first fungus. Ahoy, we have a mushroom. Dryad saddle. We can take a sample. It's not the love for them, it's the love for the process of finding them. It's like that, the treasure hunt, for the love of the treasure hunt. The mushroom that I'm holding is a very pretty mushroom. It has the appearance of a turkey's tail or a bird's tail.
One of the reasons for liking to forage is that I become aware of the season. It seems a miracle to me when I find the first mushroom of the season. I find it affirming, somehow, affirming my spot in the universe.
So, and we'll go back to the car and look for the street that will take us to Morel's. Now, in passing all these woods and we're scanning.
When mushroom season begins, I'm, you know, swiveling my head constantly. I'm a danger on the road, a real menace.
I've heard that morels will grow for 3 years, roughly, using the soil around a dead apple tree. Yeah, there is competition involved. I had been watching these certain mushrooms grow a little bit larger and larger, and I was just like getting ready until they were at their perfect size, and then I was going to get them. Well, on my way to work that day, I happen to be passing this spot, and I look over, and I see some woman get out of her car, and she had a knife in her hand. I pulled the car over. There was no way I was going to let this happen. And so I jump out. I didn't have any basket, anything. I just had my shirt that I was wearing. And so I pull it off, and I'm running up there ahead of her. It's like, don't touch the chicken mushroom on the log. I've been waiting to see that thing grow, you know, for a week now. It was not one of my better moments. The mushroom fever. I get consumed. There are apple trees. Lots of them. We're pulling over. We can even park right there where it says no trespassing. Awesome! So here we are beside Beep Road in Hope. We found an abandoned apple orchard. Hoping to find a morel or two. My heart is racing. My mind is exploding. I often go by myself simply because it's easier. Like, am I really gonna like torture people by my sort of mad dash through the woods with like getting scratched by prickers and poked in the eye by branches? And
getting very brambly now.
Spending time out there for 6 hours just like wandering, getting lost, and it's like a lot of fun for me. But I don't really want to have the responsibility of someone else in tow. What makes finding a morel difficult is that the thing we're looking for resembles everything that we're looking at. If I say I forage mushrooms to someone, you know, 80% of the time I will hear the response, oh, that's dangerous. I'll say, oh yeah, you're right. Like, you could die. Like, mushrooms will turn your organs to jelly. Identifying them, you know, once I see them and smell them and touch, then there's no mistaking these particular mushrooms. It's like identifying your dogs at home. So these are chanterelles.
When I take mushrooms home from the woods, I might bring them to a restaurant immediately or call up some friends and we'll have a dinner that night cooking some of them. Or I'll dry them. I'll string them up and hang them throughout the house or put them in a dehydrating machine.
These are called hedgehog. It smells like apricots or some dried fruit. A lot of cultivated mushrooms. Smelling them, there's nothing. There's no pleasure. They smell like nothing. But then you get these things that are like so entirely, they smell so entirely just of their own scent. Very particular. These are porcini. Oh my goodness. Wow, it smells so dirty to me. It smells like muddy. All these memories that are associated with this certain mushroom. And sort of the meals we had and people I met because of this, you know, mushrooming and all those sort of are concentrated into this one thing, this one, you know, kind of mushroom.
For every pleasurable experience, there is an equal measure of pain or suffering to go along with it.
We may spend hours looking for a species of mushroom without finding it.
I once found Matsutake mushrooms. It's a rare mushroom, so to find it was special. I was ecstatic. And I came down off the mountain so sweaty and dirty and just like thrilled. Had a hard time sleeping that night because I knew morning would come and I would just get up and I would go out and then spend the day finding more Matsutake. And I went out and for the entire day, I found nothing, and was so depressed. So that high had an equal measure of low.
We walked around and we found no morels.
Last year, when I found chanterelle mushroom for the first time of the season, I once again was surprised and felt like suddenly the woods became more than just woods. They were like a church. They were ordained. And I called many of my friends, telling them the season has begun and what we have to look forward to. I guess the anticipation or looking forward to what's about to happen, the anticipation of a season is the thing that we want more than the thing itself.
Maybe. Just maybe. We will find one morel. And yet...
That piece was produced by Natalie Jablonski with the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies. If you'd like to hear more pieces like this one, visit the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.